It is time for our excursion to Florida, where we speak with Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack from Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, TQAG.com on the web. And we say hi-dee, hi-dee, ho. Good morning to both Tim and Greg. Good morning, guys.
Hey-dee, ho.
Good morning.
How was your Easter? Was it all right?
Very quiet. Nice. Very nice, yes.
It's nice when the Easters are when you don't have to travel a lot. It you can enjoy it a little bit better. All right, what is a hybrid auction? Because a news item crossed my desk about Bertoia, and it starts tomorrow, the 8th, and goes to the 9th. And the headline says Bertoia introduces hybrid format.
Well, it's not really an introduction. It's hybrid auctions have been out there. It's probably the first time Bertoia has been doing it. But what they're doing is that I guess they are doing, it's a combination online and live. So that makes it a hybrid. So they're opening the bidding and you can start. And then what they'll do is that you can continue to bid and they will probably have maybe a handful of people or whoever, you know, a limited number of people in the gallery, but just depends. They'll have phone bids, but then they'll have the live component. But if you're still bidding, you just continue to bid online. So it's something that a lot of auction companies have been doing during this pandemic. And Heinemann Auctions, who I work for, is also doing that, is that they are hoping by May that they will have people in the auction room if they want to come. But people have really just, I guess, adapted to the online and really bidding that way and making sure that they get their condition reports and photographs of the items that they want to bid on so that they know what they're bidding on. But it's a, so it's the online portion, but then it opens to a conclusion that is live. There is a live auctioneer, but people are bidding online. There's also telephone bidders and there possibly could be people in the room, just depending on, you know, numbers and things like that. So they're keeping that going. But Bertoia has always done that.
Well, here's the whole thing. You've been talking about this for a while, and that's why when I saw this, I said, what is this introduction? Is this something different than Tim was talking?
No.
What it means is they were just the last person in the game.
Pretty much. They open it up, and it's marketing. It's marketing, Marshall. That's what it is. It's like, oh, look, hey, we're doing this.
Let's turn a negative into a positive.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty much what that is. Yeah.
Well, the other thing too, I'm just wondering whether this past year, the pandemic has had a lot to do with. I'm pretty sure it has with the way auction companies are approaching the online auction format because. People are not showing up for the live auctions. And so there again, it's like Tim says, a lot of it is just the marketing to turn a negative into a positive. So I think that has had a lot to do because, you know, I've said this before, this past year has been a total global reset. So it's not only affected what we do personally, but also professionally and business-wise. Yeah. So,
but Greg, the reality is that we did total online auctions in the 90s, I mean, the late 90s and early 2000s, and they were very successful and people went there, but it had this stigma in a larger format. But here's an example. Just this last weekend, there was an auction service that's out of California, and they were doing sports memorabilia, and they had, it was a Lou Gehrig bat that sold for $715,000. It was from 1938. There was a private collector who was bidding, but that was not a hybrid. That was all online. That's the online portion. If they had an auctioneer that then closed out the sale, then that, I guess, that would they could say this was a hybrid, but this wasn't. This was an online auction, did really well, especially for a bat and Lou Gehrig. So anything Lou Gehrig and or Babe Ruth draws a lot of attention. But they also, in that same auction, online auction, they had a home plate from Yankee Stadium that was installed just before opening day in 1923, and that sold for $303,277. So, you know, almost $304,000, you know, online. And this is all online. So when back in the 90s, when we were doing online auctions and we were very happy to get that vase that we had, it sold for over $25,000. That was our big ticket, you know. But now you're having things sell in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, close to millions of, well, and even millions, because Christie's and Sotheby's will bump that up because they've been doing a lot of online auctions and they're doing really well. So, you know, and even the company I'm working for, Heinemann Auctions, they have been doing a lot. We just finished the first quarter and sales were up over 34%. So they're on track and people are willing to jump in and bid, whether it's online or in a hybrid auction.
Now, and more people that are involved in auctions like this obviously know their stuff, and they do all their prep work and ahead of time. So it's not like an art auction where somebody, you know, just goes there and just looks at just a video of a picture. People know really what they're bidding on.
Correct. And they should. Yeah. And if they don't, then that's shame on them. Yes, because exactly. That's really, you know, you don't just jump into something. And it's just like any other area of whether it's collecting or whatever it is that you're doing, is that you should do a little research and find out. And if it is something that you like, you need to find out, get the condition report, talk to the auction house and the specialists and ask them about the piece and, you know, just find out that information, because that's really important so that you know when you get the piece, there's no major surprises. And I think more and more the auction houses have made it easier to not only in providing multiple photographs and videos for the clients of the object, but also answering a lot of questions, because digitally it's a lot easier and they can get, you know, a lot of information out. So that itself, I mean, yeah, you're still going to have people that are browsing online. I mean, I've had a couple of people, actually some of our friends who during the pandemic, we turned them on to, oh, you should be watching some of these auctions. And of course they haven't bid, but they've noticed. They're like, well, wait a minute. And they ask us questions. Why is it like this? What's going, should I, if I wanted to bid on this, what would I do? And it's that whole thing, is that you should do your due diligence, find out about the piece. If you like it, great, but also realize that not seeing it in the 3D, you know, in person, you need to get measurements. You need to, like, if you're not a visual person, you need to get a tape measure and say, oh, this is what 3 feet looks like. I thought it was going to be bigger, you know, or whatever it is, so that you get a real sense of what that piece is, because I think that's really important.
Now, you talked about marketing earlier on. Julian's has this is a brilliant marketing idea. They've got an auction coming up, and it's for women, okay? And it's they're calling it Sheroes because it's Women's History Month. Some of the people, if listen to this, folks, I mean, Beyonce, Cher, Madonna, all things are going to be auctioned off.
Beyonce, that's Beyonce.
I say Beyonce. Beyonce is too fancy for me.
That's really fun. Well, they have a number of, they also have coming up in May, they have Janet Jackson. They have a whole collection of Janet Jackson stuff. So they've really, I talked to Darren Julian, I want to say probably a couple weeks ago. And I was asking him, you know, how are things going and everything, and he said we've just embraced the total online model, and I mean, they've always had a presence online, and we've always, when I did auctions with them, they did very well because they had phone bidders and also people who were bidding online. But they also had a lot of requests for condition reports and people calling in. And Darren just said, you know, we just went out there and geared up and really went after collections and different things and looking at different ways. And they've always been very good at marketing. But yeah, Shiro's. I like that.
Shiro's, yeah. And I'm looking at a car, a 1960 AC of Bristol. And I'm normally very good at cars. Have no idea. This is just a restoration project. Okay, it hasn't even been restored, and it sold for £101,000.
Wow.
Yeah. It is a shell of a car.
Right.
That's it. And it's got, I mean, nothing else. It's got the four wheels with it. I find that simply amazing. I find that simply amazing in these times. I just do. These prices just never, never fail to amaze me.
It's one of those things that, and I've said this, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's especially when you're auctioneering, it never surprises me what somebody will put their hand in the air for. And how much things will sell for, because certain things, you know, it's just there's collectors for just about everything. And it's pretty amazing.
Now, do you guys think that websites like eBay and stuff like that years ago set the stage for these online auctions to be successful? Do you think they deserve any credit in this at all?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at Christie's and Sotheby's, for example, we keep throwing them out because they were sort of late to the game because they were a little skeptical, and rightfully so, because they were seeing what was happening with eBay, and they offered what eBay was at that time was not just a glorified garage sale like it is today. Yeah. But at that time, they were not ready to commit to trying to sell to people that they didn't know, first of all, and that did not actually look at the previews that they would have live at the auction houses. So they were a little hesitant to get started, because when we first started doing Sotheby's tried it at the very beginning, and it didn't last very long, but we were one of the first Sotheby's associates to sell an entire estate online, and it was very successful. But part of the issue was their philosophy, I think, was, well, if it was okay online, imagine what it would be live. You know, imagine how much more we'd be able to get. So I think that had a lot to do with it as well. But over the years, eBay has to be given, what do they say, props?
Yeah, given credit. Yeah.
For being the first in order to this business model. And over the years, as you know, they've sort of perfected it, and then it's gone beyond that to what it is today. And I personally believe that there – over the years, eBay has developed somewhat of a credibility issue,
yeah,
because some of the people think it's so easy and they can get away with things. So that's why I think it's become somewhat of a giant glorified yard sale at some point. But it's also now evolved into a complete business market where you can set up a store and sell regular good items, and they as you would go into a retail outlet. So it has evolved, and now so has the auction portion with the other larger companies. And now there, I don't know of any major auction house that doesn't have an online component, and that has to be thankful to eBay.
Yeah, I did. Go on, Tim.
No, I was going to say, I think that it's eBay was the precursor that really showed people that here we can take auction to the internet. And a lot of people resisted that, especially auctioneers, where this pandemic just really proved that you need to, and it's really come of age. And when we did it, and we were very successful, and we were able to have a great business around it. And I think now people are just, it's funny because we've moved on to other things and doing a bunch of other things. And it's just funny to see that it's just catching up and that they are jumping on the bandwagon, a lot of these bigger houses. But yes, I would definitely agree with Greg and say that eBay was the precursor. I think people, it really brought it to the masses and they understand. And as time went on, that people felt more and more comfortable spending more and more money, but it also was the auction houses that had to provide more and more information and make it easier for people to bid so that there was an ease, but also there was a comfort level that you could trust what you were buying.
Also probably led to the development of Amazon. I mean, really, when you think about it, Amazon started off with books. But, I mean, my God, they took the eBay example of retailing and took it to the nth degree.
Yeah. No, agreed.
And Amazon.
And look where it is today. My God.
It's scary.
Am I correct in saying that it is the largest retail outlet
that and Alibaba, they're both right up there. But what it's interesting to see what Amazon is doing now is that they're promoting the fact that, yes, I guess we're the big bad guys on the street, and yes, we're killing local marketing, local stores, but look at how many local stores now sell on Amazon. They have, it's almost like a kiosk where and now I see supermarkets trying to push that along too. We may be Walmart, but we buy all our products from local farmers. It's interesting to see the way this world, online world, has developed from retail to groceries and to auctions and all times of auctions. My favorite thing about auctions, especially car auctions, is actually being there and watching it go on. I mean, it's exciting when you see something that you're familiar with and you see the price it was sold for and the price it gets 20 years later. I think the be there aspect of seeing an auction to me is the best part of an auction.
Yeah. And, that will not change.
Yeah.
That will continue. It's evolving, just like the online aspect has. And auctions will never, I don't believe auctions will ever be completely people-less. There are always going to be people who enjoy going to the preview or sitting through the live auction and feeling the excitement in the room and being able to be right there. That's always going to happen, and that's just human nature. But so I'm thinking, and it's back to eBay. People just didn't trust it for so many years, and now they're selling all of these high-powered pieces of artwork, and they're selling real estate. You can buy real estate with a drone flying over it, and they post that. I mean, the marketplace. People are so much more comfortable now, and I think it's, they say it's the wave of the future, but the future is here.
Yeah, and things are never going to go back to the way they were before the pandemic. I mean, it's going to be this way in auctions. It's going to be this way in automobile shopping and retail. There's going to be a combination now. It's that way in government now, online. And yes, it'll eventually, where if you want to go, you can go, but there's always going to be now that presence of an online presence. Just like most restaurants, I think in the future, we'll always make sure they have a takeout window and a takeout business in the future, because the pandemic has changed all that.
Yes, most and certainly. I have to say, it's the takeout window has really picked up over this past year, and it's actually saved the bacon of a lot, no pun intended, of a lot of restaurants, because people were not using them. So they've just gone with the flow, as it were. And so I do believe that as much as everyone thought that the internet was a passing fancy when it first, when Al Gore first invented it, it's here, and it's getting stronger and stronger. And now the other end of the spectrum is it has to be monitored to a point where you know who you're trusting when you're buying. Mm-hmm. So there's a certain amount of responsibility that is now fallen on the consumer that really needs to be the responsibility of the consumer, and not so much the person who is selling online. You have to do your homework in order to make sure that it is a legitimate business. So as things change, we have to adapt. It's that simple.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've adapted to the point where we're out of time.
And it's time to change.
That's right. All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Have a great week. Take care, buddy.
Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys of Rick and Frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web. You can find them here every Tuesday morning on Robinhood Radio.